Mr. David Butler, Reel 15. Now, what was this course like? This is new to you.
This is new to me, totally new. But from the Londonderry, I had quite a good knowledge of what it went on. And it was a cushy number. That's one of the things that I was interested in it But anyway, I went and seen this bit, and he said, yeah, now when you take the start of this course, you're plonked in front of a typewriter, and you have to learn to type. And you've got to type properly. There's no, you can't just keep one button in and one thing. You've got to type properly. And you're doing this for a month. You're also learning about all the forms you have to fill in.
How did you do with type? Because it was unusual for men to type at that time.
Well, I've done all right. Well, most of us did on the course. I don't think anybody failed it, actually. But after a month, I think I'd got up to 30-odd words a minute. And I finished up doing 65 after when I left umpteen years later.
Now, what else? You were saying you had to deal with documents.
There's forms for boiler cleaning, maintenance of the different machines, water tagging, the engine room log, and all the different things you have to also look after the ship's book. Now, the ship's book is something that you keep all the ship paperwork that's important to the ship. Like, later on the next ship I went on, we had to go through the through the Suez Canal, and I had to take the paperwork governing the ship to thing. So you learn all about that type of thing. Anything to do with the maintenance of the ship is the engineering department, and you learn all about the forms you've got to fill, how you fill them in, and also you're in charge of the telephone system that's in the engineer's office, because if you have any fire exercises or anything like that, it's all run from the engineer's office, and so you're then in charge of the telephone, and you have to keep your book. You then get a log book that you have to make up. Well, all these forms, and you've got to look at them and think, well, and that's how you have to type them, and you have to type them all up. Because he's got a supply, and he types, and he's telling you exactly what you've got to put on them, and what have you. So you learn all about the everyday running of an office, because they can't teach you the odds and sods that might pop up, but you've got to do all this sort of thing, and your maintenance schedules, and watch bills. That's another thing. You have to learn about the watch bills, because the chief stoker would rely on you to help him with the watch bill and what have you. So you do that for a month, but the majority of it you're spent typing. And when you do your exam, it's to the William Tell Overture. You type to the William Tell Overture, which is quite funny, really. But there you go. And I'll pass that anyway.
So you left there in September 63?
I left there in September 63, and the next day I arrived on the Isle of Wight.
And where were you going there?
To Samuel White Shipyard to join HMS Arethusa. I was the first junior rate on there.
So was this at Cowes again?
This was at Cowes and the Isle of Wight. And when I got over there, when I arrived over there, there was the engineer, the chief stoker, the chief shipwright, and the chief ERA, engine room artificer.
Now, what were you going to be?
I was going to be the engineer's secretary.
A marine engineer office writer?
Yeah, and that was my job. And every bit of paperwork, in other words, I was also the ship's company secretary. You see, because I was the first one there, and I done that job for just over 2 years.
Now, tell me a bit about what happened then. So you joined the ship.
I joined the ship, and then the chief stoker took me around the shipyard, and then on the first day, and he couldn't take me on board the ship because the ship was on the opposite side of the river. The ship was in East Cowes. And they were fitting the diesels. Oh, excuse me. Oh. They were fitting the diesels that week that I arrived over there, and they took me around, as I said, they took me around the shipyard and introduced me to some of the workers, the people that mattered. And then the next day I went, the engineer took me round. He introduced me to the personal assistant to the managing director, to some of the directors. He took me up the drawing office, because I would be dealing with the drawings throughout the thing. If the ship company wanted any drawings, I was the one that they came to, and I filled in a requisition form and went up to the ship's office, up to the drawing office, and got what was available, and showed them. And then I returned them to the shipyard. So all that type of thing, typing any letters, dealing with any correspondence that came in on behalf of the ship's company and the engineer officer, because at the time, you see, the engineer officer was also the captain. Until the captain arrived, the engineer, or a seaman officer arrived, the engineer was the captain. And there's also a thing that we had in the Navy, and it was called Admiralty Fleet Orders. Now, they are the ones that, the rules and regulations of the Royal Navy, well, they have to be kept up to date. And they come in loads. You can, well, as anybody that works in an office and of this type of thing, one word needs to be changed. It's got to be changed. And so that was another mundane job. That was a real mundane job, but it was a job that had to be done. And I also kept very close touch with the two girls that worked in the telephone exchange of Samuel White's, because if ever we wanted a line out, you see, I had to phone them up first and make arrangements so that they could put it on the Navy bill. So I got on quite well with them, actually. And then joined the last, and then, and so, then we com- then the ship was launched on my second week there. And a lady came down to launch it. And there was a lady came down to launch it, and there was only us naval people there, and people from a place called Fost, not Fost, Commodore Building Ships or something. I can't think of the name now. But anyway, he came down, and there was various. There was various other people, like boiler people that come down from Babcock and Wilcox, and different engineering people came down for the launch, and obviously shipbuilding work. And they launched it, and then they moved into the yard in West Cowes itself, where the first thing they done was put the boilers in, lift the thing, and then they put the boilers in. Well, the chief ERA. Would be the chap for that, but then you see the chief stoker never done a lot. All his main job during that time, although he had to be there, was to see that the pipework of the tanks for the water and the fuel were okay, and follow them so that he knew exactly where they was going and where the tanks were going, and that was his job. And obviously you can't go down there every day, but he also done other little jobs that whatever the engineer wanted to do, and the chief ERA kept his eye on the machinery, and the chief shipwright that was there, he was the main one, I suppose, out of the three of them, because he was the one that had to see that the ship was being built right, and he was the main one that wanted the drawings. So I suppose, you know, him and the engineer were the two main people there. But once they started putting the boilers in and the engine room department, then the chief ERA came to the fore. But at least he'd got to know different people around the yard before they started thing. From when once they put the diesels in, he was the man that thing. But he had to check everything out. I mean, everything had to be checked out, and it was an interesting job, more so for them. Than me, because all I was doing the paperwork. But in the last 6 months, I moved onto the island itself. I although I only lived in Portsmouth, there was that much paperwork and that that came in that I felt that I had to stop over there because I knew I couldn't get it done within the day. So I took lodgings in a pub with the mother of the one of the girls who worked in the telephone exchange, so that I could have a full day's work. I'd be working till sometimes 6-7 o'clock at night, because all the drawings as they was coming in, they've all got to be collated. Although the shipyard send you across a piece of paper, and all the drawings are numbered, you've still got to check them, and you've still got to put them then into your own records. And there's a hell, and it's surprising how many drawings there are for a ship, because every piece of pipe and every piece of wood that's on the ship is on the drawings. So all they have to be, and all sorts of other things. And then, as I said earlier, the ship's book, that's got to be a thing. And you've got to make sure that each individual one that comes in, that you've got a copy of the ship's of the letter, that's the letter or the form or whatever, that's built into the ship, and that's got to be done and whatever. And that's basically it until you do sea trials, and then you've got commissioning day.
Which is first, sea trials first?
No, commissioning day.
Now, what's commissioning day like?
Well, commissioning day is that all this you've got the captain, the first lieutenant, you've got numerous people there that have got to be there to run. You've got ship parts, members of the ship's company, like in the seaman's branch, you've got members of the ship's company who want to know about the guns, and the navigator's assistant. And then you've got the electrical people who want, certain people want to know about the electrical systems within the ship, high and low, chief petty officers, and whatever, and they've got to be there. Engineers, just the same. You've got stokers that you know very well. They've got to be there, because when you commission, the next day you're going to sea, and you've got to have a squad of people there that know the machinery, so that they can teach the others. Although the others have all done courses, they've done courses prior to joining. The majority of them, they've all got to be ready. And the coxswain, and all sorts of things. Well, they've all got to be there, and so they've got to be ready to teach the rest of the ship's company. And then they arrive over from Portsmouth in different what they call motor fishing vessels, which the Navy use quite a lot of, MFVs. That's what they're called, but they're motor fishing vessels. And they arrive at the pier in Cowes, the Cowes Jetty, which is part of the Royal Yacht Squadron. Now, all their kit and everything comes after them, and they get they come across, some of them, they've been kitted out in the barracks. So I've got to work this out. They come across some of them kitted out in boots and gaiters, and with a rifle, because they are the guard of honour. And when you arrive, you're falling on the jetty, on this big long jetty at the Royal Yacht Squadron. And then there's a band that comes across as well with them. In most recent thing, it's a Royal Marine Band. And then you march through the town of Cowes, along the seafront in Cowes, to the shipyard. And you march straight on board. In the case of Cowes, you stop outside the works, and then you go in, you enter the shipyard, a line at a time. And then you go on the ship and you find your mess deck, and this is where the people who have been on the ship before, they're saying, seaman, so-and-so, and you all know which department you're in and everything. You know you're given a card as you pass through into the dockyard gate with all the information on. You've already met the captain, because he's gone over, the captain and some of the officers have gone over to the Royal Naval Barracks, and you know who they are. And then the next day, it's sea trials.
Now, what's the actual commissioning ceremony itself like? I mean, what happens?
Well, you march on board. You march on board, and then the and you muster on a quarter deck, or around the top of the quarter deck as much as you can, most people. And
it's all right, they can't see it.
No, so I know, but it needs me to refresh myself. And on the quarter deck, there's a table been set up, which the captain uses, and also the padre. You get a padre come across, and it could be a local one, it could be a naval one. I think this one was a naval one, and the first lieutenant, and the officers, and they muster on the quarterdeck, as do the guard of honour, and the flags, the ensign on the quarterdeck. And the jack, which is the Union Jack, is on the forecastle, and you're all given hymn sheets. There's people from the dockyard there, from the shipyard, the naval dockyard, and you're all over the ship, around the area of the quarterdeck, and you have a service hymns, the few prayers, and what's said and what have you. And then you accept the ship from the shipyard. There's families there, invited guests. They all get special permit. They get special seating on the quarterdeck, away from us irks. You'd have the mayor of Cowes, people from the shipyard, the managing director, and what have you. The local MP, they would be there. And people like that.
Now, what about the next day? You have the sea trials. Now, that must be a busy time for you, is it?
It's a very busy time, because you leave. You've got dockyard workers on board, because you've got to do certain trials for them: boiler trials, engine trials, swinging the compass, and all sorts. And they last about 3 or 4 days. But the first thing is
be recording and keeping all the information.
Any information that came in, a lot of it would go back to the yard, and I'd get it say 2 or 3 days later. But any engine trials, any trials that would be taking place on the ship, also there would be naval blokes down there, and then all the paperwork would come up to me to collate it and put it all together. And this is where the ship's company that had joined prior to the commissioning came to the fore, because they would be the ones. All the stoker POs would be there, all the electrical POs would be there, and people who would do certain jobs, they'd all be there because they'd be involved in the trials, and you just went down, and they had to know where everything was, you see. So then you'd go out into the Solent, in this case, and we'd go out up to Spithead, cruising. And different people would be testing different things in all aspects. So the guns would be moving, and the electrical people would be doing tests. We would be doing tests. And then all of a sudden, there would be speed trials over the measured mile. And the boilers in the engine room, that's a big thing that has to be done in Southampton Water. And so you've got 2 points where you've got your measured mile, and you cruise up to it, and then you go flat out for exactly 1 mile, or one knot, I think it's a mile. I don't know whether they call it a knot or just a mile, but never then. And you keep it, and that's your mean speed then, when you're and the ship's then logged at, we'll say, 30.2. Knots per hour.
Now, what did you think of the Arethusa? I mean, what type of a ship was she? I mean, was she a frigate or?
It was a frigate. It was a frigate.
What class? I mean,
anti submarine.
And what was she like? What did
it was
you
a
think?
Rossi. It was a Rossi class type frigate. And
what did you think of her?
Beautiful. Because That's another thing that I did. I did. I was allowed to do to pick the paintwork and the floor coverings for the mess decks. I forgot that little bit. I was allowed in the shipyard to pick the colouring for the mess decks and the thing. And the only thing they wouldn't let me do, the captain, he wouldn't let me have an Ucker's board in the dining room. I wanted on the dining room floor, I wanted a big Ucker's board so that we could have competitions whilst we was at sea. When you're doing mundane sailing from one place to another. And you put the... No, he said, if you want to play Ucker's, you can play them in your business. And so that was the only thing that I think... and so I was... that was the privilege I was given. I had all the... It was like being in a wallpaper shop. Though you didn't have wallpaper, you chose your colours that you was given for the individual messes, and then the tiles, there was floor tiles, and I had all these different colours, and I mixed and matched them and what have you, for the rest of the ship's company, and that was because that's a big job that's got to be done, you see.
So after the sea trials, what then?
After the sea trials, then you go across to Portsmouth for storing an ammunition. You have to go across there and your barges come alongside with a different, and your lorries come into the jetty side of it, and your barges come in to load the ammunition on board, and one thing and another. And we're still doing a little bit of engineering trials that's required alongside another. You have, and then you. And then eventually you get your papers from the ship. You get the papers from the dockyard to say that, you accepted into the Royal Navy.
Do you know when that was?
Not off the top of my head, no, I don't.
So what's next then? You're accepting the Royal Navy.
And then your next part of thing is down to Portland for flag officer sea training. Exactly the same sort of thing as what you did on the Londonderry. I enjoyed it. Another good 8 weeks down there.
Any different?
No, not really. No, I don't think it was. Oh yes, tell a lie. We had a helicopter on this ship. We had a helicopter on this ship, and that joined us from Yeovil, I think it was, on the way down to Portland. That joined us on the way down to Portland, that did.
What did that make, the difference did that make to you?
Well, it just gave us an aerial anti-submarine device. And it could fire torpedoes, it could drop sonars, lower sonars down. Wherever the ship was, it could be 2 or 3 miles in front of you. 2 or 3 miles on a beam of you somewhere. And it could drop anti-submarine sonar and blast. It could drop torpedoes. And at times it could be a jolly as well. Once we got into commission and we'd done our sea training, that there was a list made. You could get on the list for helicopter flights as and when the captain... The flight lieutenant decided he could have a little jolly.
Now, so what happened after Portland then? Where'd you go?
After Portland, we went... Where did we go? That's the question. Where did we go? I can't... I've got to think now. I know we was just dying for the Far East. I know we was destined for the Far East, we was. We went down to Gibraltar. We went to Copenhagen. We done a couple of home ports. Newcastle was one.
Well, let's move on to when you go to the Far East.
And then we sailed for the Far East in 1965. After sea, yeah, just after sea training, not long after sea training, I think it was. We went down to Gibraltar, we went to Newcastle, then we went across to Copenhagen, down to Gibraltar, came back, had some leave, stored ship and everything, and then we sailed for the Far East via the Mediterranean. We picked up Admiral of the I don't know whether he was Admiral of the Fleet or Admiral of the Mediterranean. CNC Mediterranean. CNC Mediterranean. Admiral Hamilton. Admiral Hamilton. We picked him up and we took him from Gibraltar to Malta. And at 5 o'clock each night, the upper deck was cleared of all unnecessary personnel so that the Admiral could walk up and down the ship's side, up and down the starboard side of the ship for half an hour. And we had his wife on board as well for the journey.
Now, what was the trip out like? Anything different, or was it...
It was all right. Just an ordinary everyday trip, except that this little... We had this Admiral on from Gibraltar to Malta. We stored ship again. We stored ship and fuel in Malta. Then we sailed for Port Suez, Portside.
Through the Suez Canal.
Anyway.
And then where?
Singapore. Then we got to Singapore, where once again we fueled, stored ship, and then we went out on various exercises.
Now, what were these exercises like?
Mostly, they were flying trials, both for the helicopter and for the aircraft carriers that was out there with their things. We've done a lot of plane guards. Then we went to 65, I think, 65, no, I'll tell a lie, 66 we, where am I, 65, we had Christmas 65 we had in Hong Kong.